Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect. Uh-huh. You ready, Ron? I'm ready.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan. Girl, I must
want. All right, we're talking Oregon, Ohio State, the Rose Bowl coming up. Less than a week away. New Year's Day down in Pasadena, the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. And we talked about Oregon's defense in the matchup against the Buckeyes' offense, but there were a few things that over the course of the first game on October 12th and the way that that matchup played out, Oregon offensively, I don't know, and this is going to be the bajillion-dollar question, right, is we saw Evan Stewart go off in that game. We saw Tez be the threat and kind of menace in the way that they motioned him and moved him around. That was just fascinating to watch Dylan Gabriel say, all right, unlock cheat code, and it's number 7, Evan Stewart.
Right.
I'm not sure if we will see Ohio State defend Oregon anywhere close to the way they tried to the first time, because there were a couple things at play. Oregon's offensive line played a damn near flawless game protection-wise. I mean, you did not hear JT Tumalau's name or Jack Sawyer's name, and that was a dude-on-dude. They were money. And that, look, to be fair, Ohio State, when they have matched up against very good offensive lines, they have been neutralized up front. I mean, those guys have been. But for Oregon, can you play the flawless game that you played the first time around? And there's going to be points to be had. The other thing is, what does it look like in the back end as far as nobody had tested Denzel Burke all season long? And Will Stein, Dylan Gabriel said, all right, we're going to go ahead and try it. And they went deep on him two times, and they had success twice. And that was the first time that we'd seen him be tested in that way all season long. And so that's going to be the fascinating part for me, is that I don't think, if you watch in the way that Ohio State defended Tennessee, they loaded up against the run, and we didn't get a good read on what the best shot of Tennessee or Ohio State's defense is in that game because of the injuries that when Sampson goes down, Dante Thornton goes down, Nico playing in a 14-0 hole out off the basically the onset of the game, right? You know that what his strength is having a run game to supplement him being able to take shots, because he's a freshman quarterback back there. And it allowed Jim Knowles and that Ohio State defense to play just loose and with their hair on fire. And that is going to be the fascinating part for Ohio State's defense and how they attack Oregon's offenses. We saw what the Ohio State offense best shot was. Mm-hmm. And that was Chip Kelly getting back in his bag and looking like the Chip that was calling plays at Oregon, using tempo and running the ball, false pulls to create movement from linebackers and replacing with the plus one with your quarterback even running the ball and Will Howard. I mean, you saw two backs on the field at the same time in motion kind of to leverage a defense with a false puller and just alleyways to run through that were a mile wide, right? The defense for Ohio State, I don't think we saw what their best shot was, because Tennessee was forced to play uncomfortably. And they looked very uncomfortable throughout the course of that game in Columbus.
I almost feel like the first time that they played, Knowles and that defense kind of expected the D-line to whoop up on Oregon. Like, remember, the narrative around that Oregon O-line around that time is they can't handle it in big games. This isn't that far removed from the stinker that they laid against Idaho and one of the more worst first halves that you can watch as an offensive lineman against Boise State. Now, it felt like Oregon had righted the ship for us, right? Because we're watching every game. We're watching the All-22, so we have an understanding of, like, okay, Oregon made a move here. They made a change. Mm-hmm. They have a new center. He's now got everyone on the same page. They're fixing the mistakes that they have made, and it clearly showed, I felt like, against Michigan State and against UCLA and Oregon State in the run game and in the passing game. But nationally, it still felt like there was a narrative around Oregon. They're not as good as everyone kind of expected them to be, and it's because of this offensive line. Well, you're not going to trick anyone now with how good your O-line is. You were a Joe Moore Award finalist mm-hmm. for offensive line. You were one of three, right? And you've yep. done it for the last 3 years. So what I believe...
and had another Heisman quarterback
100%.
Finalist. Like that, and look...
Your
offensive line is a big reason why your quarterback gets to New York.
Yes, and the continued success that they've had through multiple different offensive line coaches, right? Yeah. I think Knowles and that Ohio State defense, they dial up a lot more pressure. And I think you're going to see a lot more exotic fire zones, a lot of blitzing, almost like he might go into Oregon film, right? Or go into Dan Lanning's time when he was at Georgia. Because what Lanning likes to do, and Lanning has done a good job of this, and LaPoy has done this as well, obviously, is as an offensive lineman, I want to see who's coming to go against me. I want to see a down D lineman. I would rather see Micah Parsons right lined up next to me than two linebackers lined up over me, because there's a possibility that I could pick the wrong one, right? Yep. Where the linebackers are just reading the offensive lineman. If I step to the left, that guy's going to drop in coverage. The guy on the right's coming. If I step to the right, it's the opposite of what's happening. So I would expect Ohio State to start dialing up more pressure and more exotic looks, because they weren't able to get home last time. Yep. And that's where you see a lot of the success of these defensive linemen trying to find ways to create one-on-one matchups for Jack Sawyer, for JT, and I'm not even going to attempt his last name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
Thank you. When those guys are getting one-on-one matchups, they've had success and they've found a way to hit home. Now, I think the one calling card that Oregon can lean on is how good your tackles have played. Like, Connor Lee went up against the best defensive lineman in all of college football in Abdul Carter and shut him down to the point where Penn State moved him and they were using him more as like a stand-up linebacker mm-hmm. where he was almost kind of the read player. He was the spy to Dylan Gabriel, and he would just wait until Gabriel moved, whether he was going to move to the right or to the left, and then Abdul Carter would come blitzing because he got dominated by your tackles. So you're going to have to lean on your tackles to have another big game, especially in the passing game, to allow Dylan Gabriel the time to find his open wide receivers.
I will be very interested to see the use of Tez, Noah Whittington, and Jordan James in create, because if you're going to start playing that spy, right? The one way that you do it is you leverage it with motion, and Will Stein does a really good job with that.
Right.
And that is something that I think is everybody is kind of reacting, and I think it's a proper reaction, if we're being quite frank here. It's proper reaction for Ohio State to get the buzz that they are getting right now because of the warts that they showed against Michigan and then the way their O-line played. I do think that they are getting a rightful pop because it was impressive and they were doing things that we didn't think that they were capable of doing, especially against a really good front seven in Tennessee. So I think there is a there's a pop there for Ohio State's offense, and it's justified and rightfully so. I also think that Oregon, and I think maybe people are forgetting the explosiveness of this offense when Tez is healthy and when Tez is the feature of the way that they use him in motion. I call it his gravity, the gravity of Tez Johnson and what he forces every level of the defense to do when he gets put in motion. And the same can be said with Noah Whittington and Jordan James as well, because we've seen those guys lined up outside, in the slot, in the backfield, shifting to either one of those three positions, and Oregon still runs with rhythm in everything that they're doing on the offensive side of the ball. So it's not just the gravity of Tez anymore. It's the gravity of the backs as well, because of how effective they have been, not just running the ball, but with as receivers as well. This is not to say that Oregon is going to run away with this game, or it's going to be, you know, all ducks and it's 100%. This could be a damn good football game again, because you have two juggernauts that are playing in the quarterfinals. For everybody that was complaining about the matchups that were had in the first round of the playoffs, this is going to be a matchup that everybody's saying the 12-team playoff, this is what you wanted to see. And is the path a hell of a lot tougher for the number one overall seed? Yeah, it is. Think they're going to start tweaking that as the playoff continues. But this is exactly the matchups that we wanted to see in the college football playoff, and it comes in the round of eight.
I don't think it's hyperbole to predict that the winner of this game will win the whole thing. Like, I don't think that's wrong, barring a big significant injury.
Yeah.
Obviously, it feels like Penn State has the easiest path, at least to the semifinals. Now, stranger things have happened, right? Just ask James Franklin or any Penn State fan in the James Franklin era. But if I'm Oregon and you're going to face Ohio State, this might be the best time to do it in the fact of you are at 100% health. There's no fluke injury or someone gets beat up or banged up. And Ohio State, they already played a game, so obviously they're not as well rested as you. You could also have the rest versus rust kind of debate there. But the thing about it with Ohio State is, like we talked about with the offensive line, they already have some guys that are dinged up, that are scraped up. And yeah, the path might not be on paper the easiest path that you could have as a one seed, and you should have the easiest path. But you still have to play the football games. And so if I'm Oregon, I'd rather play Ohio State when I'm as healthy as I possibly could be than possibly play them later on down the road.
Yep.
And if you are Oregon and you're an Oregon fan, I would probably invest in Pepto-Bismol or other avenues to help calm yourself down, because it's going to be a very back-and-forth Rose Bowl. This is going to be the game of the season, I believe.
That's what it's all about, my man. All right, let's get to our worst day on the web, which sometimes it can be a really good day. This was a number that it floored me when I saw, and I wonder if it's as surprising to everybody else. And it comes out of the holiday season. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.